Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into another edition of the Panther.com podcast. It's Friday. Hope everybody's had a great week. I know this guy's evening and weekend got off to a little bit of a rough start, as did men's basketball in Lafayette, Louisiana, but always a great time to catch up with one of my favorite guests. And I say it every single time you come on, and I would say it if we were talking to anybody else. But Mike Holmes, Associate Athletic Director for Communications, somewhere in Louisiana, I believe. You guys are headed to Monroe here shortly, right?
Yeah, we're about an hour away. Team's just finishing up breakfast, watch a little bit of film, then head up to Monroe and, you know, put last night's game behind us and get ready for a big one tomorrow. That, you know, obviously we've still got – there's still a lot of basketball to play, but, you know, want to get ready and get focused on tomorrow and go from there.
Well, and we were just texting this morning a little bit about that. You know, I kind of dove in some things this morning, and I'm an early riser, so kind of looking through – just the state of the league, you know, overall, and we've certainly caught up and talked, you know, about that. You know that the league front in and out, and of course covering it and getting the opportunity to talk to other Sunbelt people and publishers and folks who cover the league. It's kind of been a wild league, I believe, overall this year. And as the great Charles Leftgerzell used to say, good teams win on the road. And we were just talking about it. Only three teams in the league right now have a winning record on the road. So our struggles are not exactly an outlier for the league. I think Little Rock is, you know, of course, at the top of the league with the winning record, Arkansas State, Coastal Carolina. We've had our struggles, but I go back and correct me if I'm wrong. I think, and based on my view, and I'll ask Coach Lanier probably the same question, this team is very young in age and also in experience, and he's mentioned it a couple times, but I think that goes into it as well. You're used to playing better, of course, in your home building. You're practicing it every day. You're used to sleeping in your own bed. When you go on the road, especially when you're a young, inexperienced team, you're going to struggle out there, and certainly we've seen that closing games lately.
Yeah, you know, I think what happens on the road is, you know, obviously the crowd's able to play more into it and the emotion. You know, you ride the ups and downs. And obviously last night was a game where we got down by 15 points. And so, you know, obviously you could see a team that emotionally would just, you know, and a crowd build into it and just make things worse. But we were able to, you know, fight back and we were able to take the lead and then go up by 13. But then unfortunately, you know, they hit a couple shots and you saw the reverse happen of then the crowd got back into it. And it kind of, you know, that tidal wave happens. And we are a team that is still young and inexperienced, even though you're midway through the year. But, you know, we're a team that has one senior, excuse me. You know, and a lot of guys who, although they may be juniors or, you know, sophomores, didn't play a lot last year or the last 2 years for us because we had such a senior-laden and experienced team. And so, you know, they're still figuring some things out. And, you know, some nights they have good nights and some nights they have bad nights. And that's just stuff that, you know, over time will be corrected. But to, you know, sit here having lost two games in a row, still be in second place in the league. You know, as you and I have talked about before, the key to where you want to be in March is one of those top two seeds. And obviously everybody wants to win the regular season title, but I think the most important thing is to be one of those top two seeds, if at all possible, to get the triple bye to New Orleans and give ourselves the best shot to go back to the NCAA tournament. But before we get there, as Coach Lanier has talked about, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed and how we get better, on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I think we did some good things last night. We also did some bad things. You know, we've joked the last few years of how quote unquote poor a free throw shooting team we are. We went 17 of 18 last night from the free throw line, and in conference games we're shooting 76% from the line. So, you know, you see some good things. It's just a matter of, as Coach Lanier has talked about in some of the post-game press conferences, and I know having talked to, you know, that he's talked to the team about, is we got to start to put it all together. The offense, you know, it's great. We scored 78 points last night. That should be enough for us to win a game. The defense didn't get it done to the way we would like. There's been other games where we maybe haven't scored as much, but the defense was able to hold its own, and that was what led us to a win. So, you know, if it all starts to come together, I still truly believe, and I think this everybody around here believes, that we can be a very dangerous team, you know, as the final weeks of the season draw near.
Well, and something that I have struggled with, and something, again, I put it out during the game last night, and Coach Lanier, I think, has mentioned it several times in the post game, and certainly don't want to get him or anyone associated with GSU in trouble with the folks down there in New Orleans. But the fouls, the personal fouls this season for this team, and whether it's the factor of the youth inexperience, things just moving quicker, being over-aggressive, however you want to say it, I'll say it, the refs quite honestly not adjusting to the speed of the game. I have been very critical, even people around the league saying, man, you know, got the hashtag Sunbelt refs out there, because I do see it. And it's not just Sunbelt. I mean, the mid-major refereeing pool, I think they have a very difficult job to do. But I have seen really in the last 10, 12 games, when both coaches are barking and they're both unhappy with the inconsistencies, it's really struggling. But is Coach Lanier talking to the guys about, you know, body control, about not picking up fouls? And you saw it last night. I mean, it certainly has hindered some playing time of a guy like Joe Jones, for example, him getting in some foul trouble, even, you know, just youth and experience. I mean, has that been kind of a topic of conversation in the last few weeks?
I would say indirectly. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, directly about the rest, but what I think it is, and I think what's making it look bad for us is, you know, we are going to play an aggressive style of defense, and it has led to a lot of steals, a lot of turnovers, and stuff like that. It has obviously also led to a lot of personal fouls, and I don't think Coach Lanier minds those fouls. It's the obvious ticky-tack ones that our guys cause, where it's, you know you can't put a hand on a guy. And, you know, you see it right in front of, you know, the bench where a guy's got his hand fully extended out on a defensive or on an offensive player. And they're going to call that stuff. I also think, I read a piece by Jay Billis. It was probably sometime early last month. And I really agreed with him is that we've gotten to the point where we're asking referees to do so much that it's causing them to not necessarily focus on the job at hand. And I think that's adding to all of this, as well as that perception that's out there. I'll go back to what I said earlier. We're going to be an aggressive team. It's for the most part worked this year. I think it has gotten better. If you look at the numbers as the season has gone on, that we have played smarter basketball, which has led to fewer fouls being called. But it's something that, you know, obviously I think, you know, we'll plague everybody. But at the end of the day, I don't think, honestly, I don't know that there's been a game this year where I could turn around and say there was a reason that we won or lost a game because of certain calls. If a game is that close, then there's bigger stuff at hand or other things that have happened during the game that's not the reason why we won or lost.
There's no question, and certainly turnovers were a factor. I mean, you guys, you and Dave talked about that on the, certainly in the radio show last night, in the broadcast, talking specifically the struggles in the first half. I think you saw that at times in games in the recent side of things as well. And as we have known, and you and I have talked about, man, for probably years, listen, Georgia State's been at the top of this conference since we got back in it. So we're the hunted. And we are one of the hated teams. We certainly know Bob Marlin's comments that he doesn't like us, and probably the feeling's mutual, quite candidly, from the fan base. But I think that's the other side that a lot of folks, especially fans and folks that are just viewing and pulling out from a macro level, is how in the world does that happen? Well, you're going to get guys' best shot because you know what? And I was very nervous about yesterday just simply because of how badly the game went for Louisiana in Atlanta and how bad that game got off kilter. And I'm sure certainly that was a factor and certainly a conversation with Coach Lanier and his staff.
No, it's exactly right. And, you know, it's more to me, it's not a conscious thing, but it's almost like a subconscious thing where you go, all right, well, we just beat a team by whatever it was, 38, you know, a few weeks ago. And even though they had a couple guys back and PJ Hardy played a really great game, heck, he didn't even come off the court last night. And even though we only scored, I think it was like 13 points, but his presence was felt. And you know, there's a big difference when you have, you know, a guy like him on the court as a starter, as compared to when they were up at our place. They literally had a walk-on freshman start because they were so injury depleted. And they're still a team that, you know, I mean, really only went six deep last night. And we'll see how that affects them tomorrow against Georgia Southern, because that's where it gets tough when you've got these two games in 3 days. But they were a different team last night. And I'm sure the fact that, you know, there didn't need to be any, you know, rah-rah speech from Coach Marlin last night going into that game. You know, they got their tails whooped. There's no other way to put it when they came up to our place. And, you know, they're a better team than that. I'll harken back to a few years ago where they came into the Georgia State Sports Arena, and I think beat us 84 or 57 or something along those lines. And it was, you know, we just had a bad day, and they had a bad day up at our place. And they're just a team, you know, I think they're better than their 10-14 record indicates. I'm not saying that they're a team that, you know, could be winning the league right now, but when you have as many season-ending injuries as they've had, it makes it really tough. And so, you know, they played a good game last night. They made their free throws as well. And at the end of the day, you know, they were able to get a big win for them. And, you know, who knows if we may see them again before the season's over.
Yeah, as long as it's not Troy, that's my only request. I know we don't get to choose that, but something about those guys down there in Lower Alabama. So we zoom out a little bit and talk about you are traveling with men's basketball, but mm-hmm. Spring sports have started, which
yep.
Always just makes me marvel because your schedule is idiotic already, and then add the fact that you have to work and coordinate other sports as well. You know, I've seen already, I believe, I think tennis is in action today. Softball started their season already, yep. Baseball, everything like that. You obviously have a great staff that you work with, Allison George and Will and that crew. But, you know, how much more hectic do the spring sports get for you when Mike Holmes and certainly your department?
It definitely, this is that. The second overlap season, we call it. The first, obviously, being in November, where you got football and the fall sports ending and basketball getting kicked off. This is probably a little crazier. The spring version of it, where you do have softball underway literally today, and they've got five games in the next 3 days. Both tennis teams competing. Obviously, we got basketball going on. You got track and field going on. Baseball first pitch with Coach Stromdahl and his crew is now just a week away. So we're obviously excited about that. You know, from my perspective, I've got our two golf teams. They're still about a week or two away from getting things the spring season underway. But what it comes down to is you've got to be good with time management, and you've got to know, you know, what priorities need to be taken care of when. And it also goes back to preparing in advance. And I'll give this example: our women's golf tournament is until the last week of March. We've already had meetings this week about stuff that doesn't need to be done until probably a week before the tournament. But just knowing that as those teams get underway, the season starts to go by quickly for the coaches. It goes quickly for the sports information directors, for the athletic trainers, for all those people. So how can we plan out and plan stuff accordingly? You know, it's no different than we've already had a couple of discussions, a couple of meetings about football season next year and you know, some of the stuff and some of the things that are ideas that we've bounced around about changing at the stadium for next year to enhance, the fan experience. Happens year round. It's not one of those, you know, all right, it's August 1st. I guess we should start playing a football season type stuff. It really is year round. And if you plan out accordingly, it makes it a whole lot easier.
No question about it. And one of the things and something that we certainly didn't see this year, and I know Dave Cohen and I were texting back and forth yesterday because he's normally the MC for such an event, but there was no signing day event this season. Certainly signing day has changed quite dramatically with the early signing period really being the true signing period. Even Coach Elliott even has said as much in interviews the last few years. But was there a conversation about hosting that event? I know it certainly was well attended first at GSU Stadium when you opened the doors and folks got to see that in year one, year two as well. Last year as well, if I recall correctly, there was a pretty good crowd as well. Was it just a kind of a, hey, we didn't sign anybody, so we're going to kind of skip this year or looking forward to other events? Or I know there's still probably being discussion that way, so I don't necessarily want to break some news, but just figured I want to talk about that as signing day came and went for football.
Hello.
Hey, Mike. Sorry about that, man. I think I may have lost you.
No problem.
No, I was asking you specifically about about the was the conversation about the signing day event this year. I know truly no signees.
Yeah, no. So what really has come down to is, you know, we've seen, you know, you mentioned this in the, you know, when you started off the question, you know, the first year we were at Georgia State Stadium, the signing day event was huge. It was great. And it is slowly kind of with this change to December, it's lost a lot of its luster. You know, I think, you know, the most we would have signed the other day, I think we've got about 4 scholarships available. And obviously, you know, there's still some stuff being worked on, and I'm sure those will be used before long. But it's just lost its luster. And so we've tried to do other events, you know, increase the number of packed events at basketball games, which we've seen a great uptick in the number of people coming out to those. But I think you've seen it across the Sun Belt and across, you know, and to some extent across the country. I know we live in the SEC world where everybody kind of looks at that stuff. But, you know, it's really everything about signing day in February has really been lost on moving into December. And the problem is to do anything in December, you're obviously looking around bowl games. You're looking around Christmas and Hanukkah and the holidays and stuff. So, you know, it's something, everything is always being evaluated throughout our department to make sure that we're giving the fans the best experience. And to, you know, nobody's going to be surprised by any of the signees on that we would have, or, you know, had on Wednesday by the fact that they were all signed back in December. So it basically becomes 6-week old news. And, you know, the world we live in, anything after 24 hours, people already know it and they move on. So, you know, we'll keep evaluating it and see if it makes the most sense to bring something back or to work something into a basketball game, which I saw a couple schools throughout the country did, and just build off that. Obviously, we were on the road this week, so it didn't really work out. But we'll just kind of see and evaluate, as I said, and moving forward, what makes the most sense.
No question about it. And as I've told several people, you know, following this and living in the recruiting world, there just wasn't a lot of space because the team was so young. You had a small senior class. You weren't going to have a huge number. And then as the week kind of progressed, you know, I found out pretty quickly there was going to be no signees, you know, on Wednesday at all. Mm-hmm. It was going to be a very, very, you know, kind of different day for the football staff. You know, I think even going back, looking on the football Twitter, there was no mention until yesterday of anything for the previous week. So it just shows you how things can change in a hurry for sure. One of the questions, speaking of change, we talked about it the last podcast. I didn't know if there was an additional update on the Convocation Center project. I know you and I talked about anticipating kind of a spring, late spring, maybe summer, some possibility of some news or a groundbreaking or something to that effect. Any new updates on that front? As I know there's a ton of excitement about one of the newest facilities in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, no, I think we're still good on, you know, on the time frame that the university had set out of, you know, sometime late this spring. You'll see hopefully dirt moving and everything else. You know, I've been seeing I probably get stuff across my desk probably every 2 weeks about, you know, they're in the final steps of, you know, the little stuff that needs to be planned out. You know, all the big stuff is set and ready to go. It's, you know, when you're talking about now, you know, Ethernet lines and phone lines and, you know, stuff like that, you know, you're in the final stages. But, you know, everything is moved along as well as it can when you're dealing with a, you know, a project of this scope. I think there were some false timelines out there or maybe folks, you know, thought, all right, hey, it's been announced. All right, why is there not a shovel in the ground the next day? It's no different than, you know, building a house. You know, you start off and you got to build plans and develop everything and make sure everything else is up to code and snuff. And we're excited about it. It's no different. We're excited about everything that's going on, you know, in this whole property. You know, we've seen, you know, obviously the apartments and stuff going up across the street. I'm sure a lot of people saw earlier this week that they announced the boutique hotel that'll be right there at the corner of Georgia Avenue and Hank Aaron. It's you know, we live in a society, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody else, where, you know, you see something, it's like, all right, why does, you know, the next day, why isn't it done yet? And we wish that was the case for everything that we're trying to work on. But everything's moving along, you know, at the pace we expected. And, you know, we're excited to see all of it come. I know Coach Lanier is extremely excited about being able to bring recruits over and show them the status of what's going on once there's shovels in the ground and concrete poured and everything else that goes along with it. And I know the university is excited about it as well.
Well, and let's not also kid ourselves. We also know that Board of Regents has their own timeline of approval, and that certainly Georgia State's planning processes. You can have your set of plans; they may have their own, so that can kind of complicate things. At least with a house being built, you can go and dictate to the contractor. You guys, unfortunately, Georgia State doesn't get to dictate to the Board of Regents, so not from my experiences. We did have some additional questions, as always, from the boards. Mm-hmm. This was an interesting one, and I wanted to bring it up because certainly your perspective is a valuable one being here. Came up in it kind of how you view Georgia State within the Atlanta landscape, the sports landscape. I think that's certainly, kind of hard to dictate. I won't speak for you. I'll let you do that. But, how you view Georgia State within the Atlanta sports landscape within the next 5 years, certainly knowing what kind of growth we've seen in the previous 5 years.
Yeah, well, and that's, it kind of almost goes back to a little bit of my last answer in terms of, we want things to grow and be bigger and better in this overnight world that we live in. But, not just 5 years, but 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I look at what Georgia State was when I became a student here in 1998. And people may think, Georgia State hasn't changed or Georgia State hasn't done this. When I got here, there were zero dorms on our campus. We were truly a commuter campus. I mean, there was no other way to describe it. You had the Olympic Village, which was 3 miles away, and we would take MARTA to get down to campus. 20 years later, we're a campus with 7,100 beds, and we've grown in conferences. We've grown in revenue. Our athletic department budget has grown. I mean, when I started at Georgia State, you could fit the entire athletic department staff in a room the size of the bedroom Dave and I share, on the road, for basketball games. I mean, because we're so small, and now we're a staff of over 100 and a budget that's 10 times what the budget was back in 1998. And so to say, in 5 years, I think the perception is changing of what our university is. And you see that from football teams succeeding, from basketball succeeding, and doing it on a national level. And, I often get the question, and I kind of, as politely as I can, smirk back at it of, well, when are we going to catch Georgia or Georgia Tech? Well, those are two football programs that have a 100-year start on us. If they stopped playing football tomorrow and didn't play for the next 100 years, we could finally catch up. So I don't know that, you can ever, quote unquote, catch up to them. But what we want to do is make ourselves as relevant a program, not only in Atlanta and the Southeast, but nationally. And the only way to do that is for our teams to succeed and move on to NCAA tournaments and for us to continue to figure out ways to generate revenue and put ourselves, build the biggest network, whether it's TV, radio, whatever the case may be, that we can, so that the most people out there are hearing about us, talking about us. We've got 200,000 alums. How do we get them involved so that, a lot of them, when they were at Georgia State, there was no football program. There was there was a basketball team, but we weren't very successful. So they grew up as Georgia fans or Georgia Tech fans or Auburn fans, whatever the case is. How do we either convert them over or make sure that 20 years from now, the generation that's growing up, the kids that are around the Summer Hill area in Peoplestown, that they want to be Georgia State fans, and that's all they ever know. That's the only way we're going to grow that side of things. And unfortunately, as I said, kind of the start of the answer, it's not something that happens overnight. I wish it would, but when I see how far we've come in 20 years, it makes me think that the next 20 years can be even better.
No doubt about it. It's always interesting. There's a famous quote by Andy Stanley. He said, "There's no win in comparison." And I fall, prey to that a lot, looking at it and saying, hey, look around the league. Even some of our, compatriots in the Sun Belt have been playing football for a whole lot longer than Georgia State has. And I think a lot of people miss that fact is you have an inherent, I get it a lot. Why can't we do XYZ school? Hey, that school down south does this and that and the other. Okay, well, yeah, they have about a 40-year head start on us. So you have to understand that there is no generation of Georgia State football fans. And I, I laugh with my own 10-year-old. I tell her, look, yeah, the program is as old as you are. So know that. So when you, you know, when you go and see and you're going and yes, you've been alive as long as the program has existed. Think about that. So, you know, but it's hard to digest that because like you mentioned, you have people who are Tech fans who or parents are Tech fans or Georgia fans or pick a school within in 3 to 6 hour drive of here. And I think that's the difficult part about it ultimately, because you and I have talked about this at length. There are people that say, you know what, we'd love an indoor practice facility and we'd love baseball and softball and we'd love this and that and the other facility. Awesome. That costs money, you know, so, you know, unless you're independently wealthy or you go hit the lottery and want to make the Rob Lanier Convocation Center, then, you know, maybe, you know, think about giving a couple dollars and start working towards that or encourage others too. But I think the biggest thing, and you guys do a great job as well, is encouraging people and doing, you know, I saw the promotion for date night, you know, coming out for the alumni night, which is always a huge event. And I personally, as a guy who was on campus in the late 90s, I love to see the guys that I haven't seen in 10 or 15 years come back to campus, as I know you do, being involved and DC as well. But, you know, just continuing to do that. Hey, if you're not going to give money, that's fine. Show up to a game. You know, and I challenge our fans a lot. Look, if you have extra tickets, find somebody that can use them if you can't use them, or invite somebody else that's never been to a game. That's always my favorite thing, is somebody that I find in my network at work or in the community or at church and says, hey, you know what? I'm a Georgia State grad. I have those shared experiences, 2002, 2005, whatever it is. My first question that drives my wife nuts, when's the last time you've been on campus? And their answer is, it's been a while. Okay. When like, hey, have you been back? Do you know about Summer Hill? Hey, let me take you to Woods Chapel Barbecue. Hey, let me take you by the stadium. You won't even recognize it. And I'm sure you get that experience as obviously living and working right down there as well. You try to tell people and say, guys, this isn't your, you know, your daddy or your uncle's GSU.
No, and that's the biggest thing, is just come back for a game. Check it out. You know, when it comes to football, come back, check out a game. And what we've seen is, you know, when people realize, hey, we have our own stadium now, and you know, we have the new convocation center coming along. And it's not just the athletic side of thing. If you go on campus, I mean, with Kell Hall, you know, having been taken down and the new plaza coming in, I mean, every day there is something going on our campus to make things better. You know, but as we said, it doesn't happen overnight. We just got to keep going and keep going. And, you know, at some point we'll turn back and we'll look at our football program. And we won't be a 10-year-old anymore. We won't be a teenager anymore. We'll be celebrating our, you know, 21st birthday. But that you know, all of that takes time and, time, resources and money. And that's what we're striving to do and working toward every day.
No question about it. Well, last question. We always bring up a food question. You mentioned that on the road, you don't get to go out as much as you did anymore. Do you have a spot that you hit in either, you know, in and around Lafayette last night or that you're looking forward to in and around Monroe? I know in the past, you know, of course, the Duck Dynasty, you know, headquarters is down there in Monroe. There's other kind of cool places along the Sun Belt. Is there anything that you're looking forward or have done already this weekend on the trip to Louisiana?
No, so far, I'll tell you what, it's been a pretty quiet trip. You know, yeah, as we said, we don't go out nearly as much as we used to in the past, but they treat us well. We're eating a lot healthier, so I'm sure my waistline after the season will greatly appreciate it. We did have some shrimp po' boy sandwiches last night, which weren't too bad at all. So, you know, it definitely is, as I said, it's different. It's not a bad thing. It's just different. You know, and you know, we get back, we relax in the hotel. And as I said, you know, we're playing two games in a 36-hour stretch. So there's usually not too much time to get some stuff in other than, you know, work out here or there and, you know, get some rest and, you know, get ready to play another game. But it's been a good season so far. From the food perspective, and I'm sure we'll finish it off strong. And I'm sure I'll find someplace good, you know, before all these trips are done. We got a good trip to Texas coming up in a couple weeks as well. So that one never seems to disappoint.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in you and Dave Cohen to get that done, get the job done there for sure. So awesome. Well, safe travels to Monroe, my friend. We'll catch you at the Sports Arena next week. And yeah, let's good luck to our Panthers. As the great DC says, let's get out of Monroe with a W and then start a streak, eh?
Absolutely. No, I appreciate, you know, obviously tomorrow is a big one, but then coming up this week, two big home games. We need our fans to, you know, give us the same home court advantage that we see, you know, by the opposing teams when we're on the road. So get your tickets now and come on out. We should have two really good games against App State and Coastal next weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Mike. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, sir. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, Ben.